Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Ram Goldhar, and today Masechta Sota Daf Mem Gimel, the eighth parak, Meshulch Mochama. The Zichu Masechta Sota program has been generously sponsored as a schus for Chazakas Torah. So the three tells we're going to focus on. Number one, it was taught in a brisa, Lo Chinam Halach Pinchas Mochama. Not for naught did Pinchas go to battle against Midian, Eli Parad Din Aviimo, rather to take revenge for his mother's father Yosef, who was sold as a slave by Midianites. The more questions Pinchas' descent from Yosef, from a pasuk identifying his mother as Mimonos Putiel, from the daughters of Putiel. My love to Asim Yisro, is this not because they descended from Yisro, who is called Putiel? Shepitim Agong Levodos Chochavim, because he fattened calves for idolatry. Pitim El. The more answers, Lomim Yosef Shepit Be Yisro. No, they descended from Yosef, called Putiel, because he scorned and conquered his desire. The Gemara objects that when Pinchas killed Zimri, the other Shvatim disgraced him, saying, Reisim ben Puti Zeh, have you seen the son of Puti? Ben Shepitim Avi Ima Agam Levodos Chochavim, a son whose mother's father fattened calves for idolatry, Yarug Nasim Yisrael, yet he kills a Nasi of Yisrael? Clearly, he descended from Yisrael. The Gemara answers that he descended from both, one from his mother's father and one from his mother's mother. This is supported by the Yud and Putiel, which indicates multiple meanings. Point number two, the next mission teaches about the officers declaring the three exemptions from going to battle. One who built a new house and did not inaugurate it, one who planted a vineyard and did not redeem it in the fourth year, and one who married a woman and did not complete the marriage. The mission details the applications of each exemption and concludes, Kol el ve'el shomin dibe kon ma'archi mochama v'chozrin. All these hear the words of the Kohen about the war regiments, and provide water and food to the army and repair the roads for the army's passage. The mission then enlists those who do not qualify for the above exemptions and teaches that there are those who do not leave their homes at all, nor provide sustenance to the troops nor repair the roads. Banabais v'chanacho, one who built a house and inaugurated, not Natakem v'chilula, one who planted a vineyard and redeemed its fruit, Anoses v'rusaso, one who performed nisuin with his arusa, Akonis his yabimto, and one who married his yavama, and in all these cases did not enjoy their benefits for a full year. And point number three, the Mishnah taught that in addition to planting, grafting a plant also exempts from going to war. Rabbi Zera explains that this refers to permitted grafting. Now the Gemara wonders what the case is, since if a young tree, meaning one less than 3 years old, was grafted onto a young tree, he's exempt anyway because of the first tree. If it was grafted onto an old tree, Rabbi Yavo taught, Batla Yalda Bezakena Be'embad Den Orla. The young tree is nullified in the old tree and does not have a law of Orla. Thus, the graft cannot provide an exemption. Rabbi Yirmi explained that he grafted it onto a young tree which was not subject to Orla. Ukagon de Natla Hach Kamaisa Lesiag Ulakoros. In the case where he planted the first tree as a fence or for beams, which is exempt from Orla. Therefore, only the graft exempts the owner from going to war. This graft does not become nullified to the permitted host, because if he would change his mind and designate it for fruit production, it would revert to an orla state, since its primary function is to produce fruit. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak answered, "B'mavrich ilam b'yark." The Mishnah is where he grafted a tree onto an herb, and the Mishnah follows the opinion that this is permitted. Herbs are not subject to orla, and only the graft exempts from army service. So once again, the 3 points are: number one, it was taught in a brisa, "Lo chinam halach pinchas l'mochama." Not for naught did Pinchas go to battle against Midian, Eli Parad Din Aviimo, rather to take revenge for his mother's father Yosef, who was sold as a slave by Midianites. The more questions Pinchas' descent from Yosef, from a pasuk identifying his mother as Mimonos Putiel, from the daughters of Putiel. My love to Asim Yisro, is this not because they descended from Yisro, who is called Putiel? Shepitim Agong Levodos Chochavim, because he fattened calves for idolatry. Pitim El. The more answers, Lomim Yosef Shepit Be Yitzro. No, they descended from Yosef, called Putiel, because he scorned and conquered his desire. The Gemara objects that when Pinchas killed Zimri, the other Shvatim disgraced him, saying, Reisim ben Puti Zeh, have you seen the son of Puti? Ben Shepitim Avi Ima Agam Levodos Chochavim, a son whose mother's father fattened calves for idolatry, Yarug Nasim Yisrael, yet he kills a Nasi of Yisrael? Clearly, he descended from Yisrael. The Gemara answers that he descended from both, one from his mother's father and one from his mother's mother. This is supported by the Yud and Putiel, which indicates multiple meanings. Point number two, the next mission teaches about the officers declaring the three exemptions from going to battle. One who built a new house and did not inaugurate it, one who planted a vineyard and did not redeem it in the fourth year, and one who married a woman and did not complete the marriage. The mission details the applications of each exemption and concludes, Kol el ve'el shomin dibe kon ma'archi mochama v'chozrin. All these hear the words of the Kohen about the war regiments, and provide water and food to the army and repair the roads for the army's passage. The mission then enlists those who do not qualify for the above exemptions and teaches that there are those who do not leave their homes at all, nor provide sustenance to the troops nor repair the roads. Banabais v'chanacho, one who built a house and inaugurated, not to kem v'chilula, one who planted a vineyard and redeemed its fruit, anoses arusa so, one who performed nisuin with his arusa, akonis his yabimto, and one who married his yavama, and in all these cases did not enjoy their benefits for a full year. And pointing with you, the Mishnah taught that in addition to planting, grafting a plant also exempts from going to war. Rabbi Zera explains that this refers to permitted grafting. Now, the Gemara wonders what the case is, since if a young tree, meaning one less than 3 years old, was grafted onto a young tree, he's exempt anyway because of the first tree. If it was grafted onto an old tree, Rabbi Yavo taught, Batla Yalda Bezekena Be'em Baden Orla, the young tree is nullified in the old tree and does not have a law of Orla. Thus, the graft cannot provide an exemption. Rabbi Yirmi explained that he grafted it onto a young tree which was not subject to Orla. In a case where he planted the first tree as a fence or for beams, which is exempt from Orla. Therefore, only the graft exempts the owner from going to war. This graft does not become nullified to the permitted host, because if he would change his mind and designate it for fruit production, it would revert to an Orla state, since its primary function is to produce fruit. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak answered, the Mishnah is where he grafted a tree onto an herb, and the Mishnah follows the opinion that this is permitted. Herbs are not subject to Orla, and only the graft exempts from army service. All right, so now we get our Siman Daf Mem Gimel, and our standard Siman is a magazine. A magazine, so here goes. The most recent issue of Ancient Midianite Battles magazine captivated the attention of the great Ben Puti general, who was sitting on his porch while exempt from war due to his recent engagement behind a young tree he had grafted onto another tree, which is planted as a fence. Once again, in slow motion. The most recent issue of Ancient Midianite Battles magazine, that must mean we're in Daf Mem Gimel. The most recent issue of Ancient Midianite Battles magazine captivated the attention of the great Ben Puti general, which reminds us it was taught in Braisa, Lolochinam Halach Pinchas Lumachama, not for naught did Pinchas go to battle against Midian, rather to take revenge for his mother's father, Yosef, who was sold as a slave by the Midianites. The Gemara questions Pinchas' descent from Yosef from a pasuk identifying his mother as Mimenos Putiel, from the daughters of Putiel. Is this not because they descended from Yisro, who was called Putiel? Shepitam agalim l'avodus kochavim, because he fattened calves for idolatry? Pitamel? The Gemara answers, lo mi Yosef shepit bit be Yisro. No, they descended from Yosef called Putiel because he scorned and conquered his desire. The Gemara concludes that he descended from both, one from his mother's father and one from his mother's mother. This is supported by the Yud in Putiel, which indicates multiple meanings. So, the most recent issue of Ancient Midianite Battles magazine captivated the attention of the great Ben Puti general, who was sitting on his porch while exempt from war due to his recent engagement, which reminds us the next mission teaches about the officers declaring the three exemptions from going to battle. One who built a new house and did not inaugurate it, one who planted a vineyard and did not redeem it in the fourth year, and one who married a woman and did not complete the marriage. So, the most recent issue of Ancient Midianite Battles magazine captivated the attention of the great Ben Puti general, who was sitting on his porch while exempt from war due to his recent engagement behind a young tree he had grafted onto another tree, which is planted as a fence, which reminds us. The Mishnah taught that in addition to planting, grafting a plant also exempts from going to war. Rabbi Zera explains that this refers to permitted grafting. The Gemara wonders what the case is, and Rabbi Yirmi explained that he grafted onto a young tree which was not subject to Orla, such as in a case where he planted the first tree as a fence or for beams, which is exempt from Orla. Therefore, only the graft exempts the owner from going to war. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak provided another answer. So once again, the most recent issue of Ancient Midianite Battles magazine captivated the attention of the great Ben Puti general, who was sitting on his porch while exempt from war due to his recent engagement behind a young tree he had grafted onto another tree, which was planted as a fence. All right, so now it's time for Four Blabach Chazara. Daf Ramites. So the Siman Daf Ramites is a letter, and we often use a mailman in the Siman. So here goes. The mailman holding the red letter, mailman, letter, that must mean we're on Daf Ramites. The mailman holding the red letter waited in silence as the Torah was read, which reminds us it was taught that one may not speak once the Sefer Torah has been opened. So the mailman holding the red letter waited in silence as the Torah was read, and then ran over to the very old sage who always said the bracha before reciting Birkas Kohanim, which reminds us, the Gemara brings the bracha in the fields of the Kohanim during Birkos Gonim and relates that Rabbi Ozer ben Shimon was Talmidim asked him how he merited a long life, and among his answers was that he never raised his hands for Birkos Kohanim without first reciting the bracha. So the mailman holding the red letter waited in silence as the Torah was read, and then ran over to the very old sage who always said the bracha before reciting Birkos Kohanim, and handed him the note about the Birkos Kohanim sequence, which reminds us the Gemara brings a series of seven halachas of Birkos Kohanim in which the next step cannot proceed before the previous one is completed. Daf Mem. So the Siman Daf Mem is a swimming pool, and often we use a swimming instructor. So here goes. The humble swim instructor, that must be more on Daf Mem, mine, pool. The humble swim instructor who didn't mind when his assistant gave different instructions to the class on how to swim across the red water, which reminds us, Rabbi Avo commented, originally I would have said that I'm a nanav until witnessing the humility of Rabbi Avi Avako. Rabbi Avo was delivering a shir and gave one explanation to his speaker, whose role was to repeat the shir loudly to the audience, who instantly said aloud a different explanation to the audience, and Rabbi Avo did not take offense. So the humble swim instructor who didn't mind when his assistant gave different instructions to the class on how to swim across the red water and turn his back on him to face the students, which reminds us, Rabbi Yitzchak said, "La'om tehei emas tzibur alecha." The awe of a congregation should always be upon you, for we find the Kohanim's faces are towards the people during Birchas Kohanim and their backs are towards the Shekhinah. So the humble swim instructor didn't mind when his assistant gave different instructions to the class on how to swim across the red water and turned his back on him to face the students, had the children pass from one to another, the how to be a good swim buddy sign, which he then read aloud for all to hear, which reminds us, the next mission describes the Kriya of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur in the Beis HaMikdash. The Chazan, meaning the Shamash of the synagogue near the Beis HaMikdash, took the Sefer Torah and handed it to the head, meaning the Gabbai, of the synagogue, who handed it to the Skan Kohen Gadol, who in turn handed it to the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol then read the parsha in the Torah detailing the avodah of Yom Kippur, as well as a nearby parsha discussing the prohibition against malacha or eating on Yom Kippur. Then, because the final parsha is too far away to roll the Torah too, he read that by heart. Daf Mem Aleph. So the Simmer Daf Mem Aleph is a grandma. So here goes. The proud grandma, that must be on Daf Mem Aleph. The proud grandma with the red walker cavelling over her grandson, the king, when he did Kriya Sator, even though he was a descendant of a foreigner, which reminds us, the next mission describes the mitzvah of Hakel and relates that when King Agrippa's reached the pasuk, Osucha ses alecha ishnachri, you shall not place a foreigner over you to be a king, Zalga Enav Demos, his eyes flowed with tears because as a descendant of the slave Herod, he was disqualified from being king. The people said to him, Maltizyar Agrippa Zechinuata, Achinuata, do not fear Agrippas, you are a brother, you are a brother. The Gemara says they deserve destruction for this flattery of Agrippas. So, the proud grandma with a red walker quelling over her grandson the king, when he did Kriya Satori, even though he was a descendant of a foreigner, told the Russia standing next to her, who flattered her, saying that seeing her face is like seeing the face of an angel, which reminds Rabbi Yehuda of the West, Darshan Mutulachanif Lurashayim Bulamazeh, is permitted to flatter the wicked in this world because it says regarding the times of Mashiach that it will not be permitted. Rish Lakish gave a source from Yaakov's statement to Esav, Kiros Pnei Elokim Vaterzeini, I've seen your face, which is like seeing the face of an angel, and you were appeased by me. We see then that Yaakov flattered Esav. Rabbi Levi gave a different interpretation of Yaakov's intent. So the proud grandma with a red walker cavelling over her grandson, the king, when he did Kriya Sator, even though he was a descendant of a foreigner, told the Russia standing next to her, who flattered her, saying that seeing her face is like seeing the face of an angel, that he's going to fall into her grandson's hands and ultimately go to Gehenna, which reminds us, Rabbi Elazar made several statements about a person who possesses the trait of flattery. Anyone who has in him the trait of flattery brings anger to the world, and he's nofel b'Gehenna, he falls into Gehenna. He added, Kol machnif l'chavero sof nofel b'yado. One who flatters his fellow ultimately falls into his hand. He concluded that even if he does not fall into his hand, he'll fall into his son's hand, or at least the hand of his son's son. Daf Mem Beis. So the Simmer Daf Mem Beis is a mobster. So here goes. The mobster, that must be more in Daf Mem Beis. The mobster in the red pinstripe suit giving a pep talk to his men, who are about to go out and fight with another crime family, which reminds us, the eighth period begins by describing the words spoken to the nation by the Meshul of Muhammad before going to battle, which were in Lashon HaKodesh. He told them they were heading to war al oyvechem, against your enemies, meaning not against your brothers, that if you fall into their hands, they'll have mercy on you. Rather, you're going to war against your enemies, that if you fall into their hands, they will not have mercy on you. So the mobster in the red pinstripe suit giving a pep talk to his men, were about to go out and fight with another crime family, was shocked when his brazen giant fighter got felled by a young man, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan darshens the name Galyas as saying, "Sha'amad begil yupanim with Nekodesh Baruch Hu." They stood brazenly before Kodesh Baruch Hu, and he said, "Bruachem ish v'yered alai." Choose for yourselves a man and let him come down to me, by which he meant Hashem, who's called an ish mochama, a man of war. Kodesh Baruch Hu responded, "Hareini mapil al yidei ben ish." I'll hereby fell him through a son of men, meaning a young man, which is how David is described. So the mobster in the red pinstripe suit, giving a pep talk to his men, were about to go out and fight with another crime family, was shocked when his brazen giant fighter got felled by a young man who killed four warriors, all descendants of a woman who cried four tears, which reminds us. The Gemara explains why the four warriors, Saf, Madon, Galyas, and Yishbi, fell before David. The Pasuk says, "V'tishak arpa l'chamos v'rus davka ba," and Arpa kissed her mother-in-law, but Rus cleaved to her. Rav Yitzhak said, "Amakosh Baruch Hu yavo b'nei ha-neshuka v'yipu b'ya b'nei ha-dvuka." Akosh Baruch Hu said, "Let the sons of the one who was kissed," meaning Arpa, "come and fall in the hand of the sons of the one who cleaved," referring to Rus. Rava darshan that Arpa merited for these four warriors to descend from her in reward for the four tears she shed when parting from Naomi. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1, which of them went about the incident when King Agrippa cried when reading the Torah at Hakel? That's on Daf Memav. Good. Number 2, which of them went how the Torah was passed to the Kohen Gadol and how he did Kriya on Yom Kippurim? That's on Daf Mem. Good. Number 3, which stuff is the case of grafting which grants an exemption from going to war? That's on Daf Mem Gimel. Good. Number 4, which stuff is what the Mashuach Muhammad says to the nation before they go to war? That's on Daf Mem Beis. Good. Number 5, which stuff is that one should not take food from a miser? That's on Daf Lamed Ches. Good. Number 6, which of the one that Pinchas descended from both Yosef and Yisro? That's on Daf Mem Gimel. Good. Number 7, which of the one that what Ganya said was turned against him? That's on Daf Mem Beis. Good. Number 8, which of the one that there are three exemptions from war, one being one who married a woman and did not complete the marriage? That's on Daf Mem Gimel. Good. Number 9, which of the one with the differences on how Birchas Kohanim was said in the Mikdash versus the Medina? That's on Daf Lamed Ches. Good. And number 10, which of the one who flatters will ultimately fall into Gehenna? That's on Daf Mem Aleph. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldham Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.